Lady Hilda.
Mr. Holmes.
Some details of this affair are still not clear to me. I presume that Lucas was blackmailing you.
Yes, that was the exact case. He had a letter of mine, a very foolish letter, written before my marriage, to a friend. I meant no harm, but my husband would have thought it criminal.
6 minutes, Holmes.
When Lucas contacted me, I thought he wanted money. I was wrong. It was to be an exchange. If I gave him Arthur's letter, he would return mine. I should dearly love to know how that man laid his hands on it.
In cases of this sort, I'm afraid it's usually through someone on the household staff.
I would have sworn to their loyalty.
It's possible that Lucas had some hold over one of them. Has any servant shown signs of unusual behaviour recently?
My God, Annie, my maid. Huh? I've had to speak to her more than once.
If it was her, she might well have thought that the murder inquiry would uncover her connection with Lucas. She's probably been terrified.
How dare she do this to me?
Yes, as I said, to protect some secret of her own. Yes, the threat of scandal is as powerful for a maid as it is for her mistress. Perhaps more so.
Hardly, sir.
A serving girl dismissed without a character will never get another place. In 2 months she'll be on the streets, and inside 12 she'll probably be dead. Unless Annie stole your letter to buy her own safety, just as you stole your husband's.
I tell you, I didn't do it for myself. I did it for Arthur. If Lucas had sent him my letter, he would have allowed himself only one course of action, whatever the public consequences. Our marriage would have been at an end, and with it his honour, perhaps even his career. What was I to do?
Take him into your confidence.
I couldn't.
How did you get the duplicate key?
I took an impression of my husband's. Lucas told me what to do. He had the key made. He arranged everything. He knew exactly when the letter would be there and what it would look like.
Yes, he had an agent in the Foreign Office, no doubt.
Oh, he boasted of it. Called the government fools that they could be so easily deceived. But he assured me that no harm would come to my husband, and I took the letter. It was simple.
When you returned with it to Lucas?
We made the exchange. It was all very formal. Then, as I opened the door to leave, it was like some fearful dream, a woman screaming in French. I turned away from her, and I saw Lucas just closing the secret compartment under the carpet. That's how I knew where it was. Then the woman pushed past me into the room, and I ran. I was happy. I had my letter. If I'd known what the future would bring.
Clearly, your happiness didn't last long.
The next morning, I realized that all I'd done was exchange one trouble for another.
When your husband confided in you about the theft of the letter.
Yes, his reaction was so terrible. I knew that Lucas had lied to me. The little you told me confirmed it. My husband's entire future, perhaps even the safety of the realm, was at stake. And I was the cause. All I could think of was getting the letter back. I was terrified that Lucas would pass it on, or sell it, or do whatever he planned to do.
And then, presumably, you read of his death.
God help me, I rejoiced at it. I knew that the letter must still be where he'd hidden it. All I had to do was get into that room. All.
You succeeded brilliantly.
Oh, I got the letter. But then I realized the truth. What use was it? I couldn't return it. I couldn't confess. I couldn't do anything. The whole thing had been in vain.
No, Lady Hilda. If you hadn't gone back there, if you hadn't replaced the carpet so carelessly in your rush, Holmes never would have seen the truth. So now, God willing, we can set everything right.
Time.
2 minutes to 1.
Oh, Mr. Holmes.
Fear not, your ladyship.
Mr. Holmes.
Sir, what you are saying is preposterous.
I think not, Prime Minister. I am convinced that the letter has never left this house.
Preposterous!
If it had, surely it would have been made public by now.
But why should anyone take it in order to keep it here? Well, thank you, Fenton. Here, if you please.
I'm not convinced that anyone did take it.
Then how could it leave the dispatch box?
I'm not convinced that it did.
Mr. Holmes, this joking is very ill-timed.
Have you examined the box since the theft?
No. It hasn't been necessary.
Well, you may conceivably have overlooked it.
Oh, impossible.
I've known such things happen. I presume there are other papers in there.
You're saying it could have got mixed in with them? Oh, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's easily checked. Hope?
Prime Minister. Now, letter from Lord Morrow. Report from Sir Charles Hardy. Memorandum from Belgrade. Note on the Russo-German grain taxes. Letter from Madrid. Note from Lord Flowers. Prime Minister. Prime Minister!
But this is it. And the letter is intact. Hope I congratulate you.
Mr. Holmes, you're a wizard. A sorcerer. How did you know it was there?
Because I knew it was nowhere else.
Hilda! Gentlemen, you must excuse me. Hilda! Hilda! Hilda, my dear!
Mr. Holmes.
Sir.
There is more in this than meets the eye. How did the letter get back in the box? Where did you find it?
Prime Minister, we also have our diplomatic secrets.
In The Second Stain, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with David March as the Prime Minister, Jeremy Clyde as the Foreign Secretary, and Sabina Franklin as Lady Hilda Trelawney Hope. Mrs. Hudson was played by Joan Matheson, Inspector Lestrade by Donald Gee, Eduardo Lucas by Keith Drinkle, his valet Mitten by James Telfer, Annie Baxter by Melanie Hudson, Mrs. Pringle by Jill Graham, Constable Barrett by Matthew Morgan, and Fenton the Butler by John Fleming. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Second Stain was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.
All right, I'll tell you again. The last passengers to get on board were a man and a woman. I gave their descriptions to your sergeant.
Hurry along there, please! Yeah, first class for you, sir. Here you are.
The lady prefers a non-smoker?
Of course. Sorry to disturb you. Try this one, ma'am. Ah, and all to yourselves. Here, allow me.
Thank you.
Sir, mind away from the door, please. Stand clear of the train!
The trip was smooth. No problems, no unexpected stops. As we were coming into Rugby, I looked out and checked down the train. Standard procedure, regulations. And I saw one door just swinging open. The last of the first class non-smokers. So soon as we were on the platform, I jumped down and ran along there.
Sir? Mom?
And I found...
God, is that one empty?
Well, you know what I found.
The 13 Watchers by Bert Cools, with Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson, and featuring Nigel Anthony as Sir Gregory Backwater and Sean Probert as Inspector Athelney Jones. The 13 Watchers.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr.
Sherlock Holmes, Sir Gregory Backwater.
Sir Gregory?
Sir Gregory is the chairman of the London and North Western Railway Company.
And shortly to be elevated to the peerage.
Well, that information hasn't been made public. I trust I can rely on your discretion.
Oh, this room has heard many secrets, Sir Gregory.
Some of them even more important than yours. How can I help you? The doctor assured me that your case is worth getting out of bed for. I hope you're not going to disappoint me.
Yeah, 2 days ago... something occurred on one of my trains, the non-stop Euston to Rugby. 2 people vanished into thin air.
Indeed.
And a third person appeared in their place. A young man with no ticket, no money and no identification. He'd been shot through the heart at extremely close range.
Hmm. Is that everything?
The whole thing occurred in an isolated compartment of a non-corridor train, travelling at approximately 50 miles an hour. And if that isn't enough... The dead man was in possession of 13 watches. Well, sir, is that sufficiently interesting for you?
The couple that vanished, I suppose there's been a search for bodies.
Of course. Suicides do happen, though God knows we do our best to keep them out of the papers. Nothing was found.
Could the corpse have been hidden in the compartment before the train started?
So completely that the guard didn't notice it when he opened the door.
Besides which, the train was cleaned and inspected at Euston immediately before it left. No, the dead man quite definitely appeared during the journey.
You should have called me in at once. By now the body would have been tidied away, stripped, washed and wiped clean of any useful information. Decency and convention triumph over science.
The police saw the body in situ.
The police?
Who's in charge, Sir Gregory?
Oh, there's a local man, Inspector Fowler.
Well, that's something.
But I insisted on a Scotland Yard detective.
Oh, wonderful. Which of the troop did they send?
Well, now, here's a pretty business.
Inspector Thelney Jones?
Mr. Holmes, always a pleasure.
I'm glad you think so.
And Dr. Watson. You're looking well, Doctor.
No, you too, Jones.
Well, it's true, I can't deny it. It's the brain work, you see. Tones up the mind and the body follows. Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory.
Jones, you know these gentlemen, do you?
Oh, Mr. Holmes and the doctor have assisted me in the past. I don't mind admitting it.
Very kind of
you. Our credit where credit's due, that's my motto. But look, you'll have to excuse me. There's a message come from the station. The police station, that is. Potential for confusion. Can you manage without me?
We can but try.
I'll let you get on with it. The coach where the body was found is waiting for you in a siding. I gave orders that nothing was to be touched until you'd seen it.
Oh, thank you, James.
I know your ways by now, don't I? Know your ways? Excuse me, all.
Well, he wasn't quite what I was expecting, I have to say.
Yes, a lot of people find that.
Has he made any progress?
None whatsoever. This way. Mr. Holmes, the body was in that compartment, the next one.
Yes, but the guard first showed the missing couple to this one, which they rejected.
Because they preferred a non-smoker?
Or possibly because they wanted to be alone. Tell me about the man who was already in here.
Tell you what?
Well, the compartment wall's not particularly thick. Did he hear a gunshot?
I've no idea.
Well, surely he was asked.
In the confusion, he left before anyone could question him.
Not very public-spirited. Look out below. I'll see the scene of the murder now.
Splendid.
Cigarette, Sir Gregory?
You never got the taste. You're more of a cigar man.
Well, I'm partial to a good cigar myself.
You carry on, though.
Thank you.
How much longer is he likely to take?
I'm afraid that's hard to say.
No offence, Doctor, but the fellow from Scotland Yard wasn't the only one who took me by surprise.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting him to be quite so abrupt.
It's just his way. One gets used to it in time.
Watson, come here.
More or less. Excuse me.
Now, hang on, let me hold the ladder.
Oh, yes, thanks.
Good.
Have you found anything?
A few traces, despite the efforts of the official force to obliterate the lot.
The blood is clear enough. Looks like he fell backwards against the seat here. And then slid down to the floor.
Yes, then two people walked through the pool of blood while it was still flowing.
The mysterious disappearing couple.
Surely you're not thinking of titles already.
Sorry, force of habit. Pity the footprints aren't clearer. Anything else?
Nothing that answers the main question.
How the devil did he get in here?
Exactly.
Could he have jumped up from the track level? No. No, it's too far. You'd have to be an athlete or an acrobat.
Perhaps that's exactly what he was.
Muscle development is no more than average, if that. He wasn't an athlete.
Early 20s, very trim, close-shaved, hair well-groomed, no particular distinguishing marks.
Unless you count the single gunshot to the chest.
There you are.
Welcome back, Jones.
Well, what did you think of the scene of the crime, then? No, you can tell me on the way.
On the way to where?
It won't take long. I've a carriage waiting.
For heaven's sake, Jones, what's happening?
We've got another body. These bushes are so thick you can only see them when you get right alongside. There.
Who found him?
Family out for a hike. Apparently, this path runs right along the bottom of the embankment, a whole 3 miles into town.
Yes, may I?
Well, be my guest.
Thank you.
Yes. Mm. Has he been moved at all?
Just enough to make sure he was dead. There's no identification. My sergeant's already looked in his pocket.
Then I shouldn't dream of checking again. What did he find?
Not a thing. No papers, no money, no nothing.
Nothing at all?
Yes, that is singular, isn't it? Exit wound in the small of the back. And a single gunshot to the chest from very close.
Highly indicative. And so is something else. Look at that trail of damage. I reckon he came down the embankment. Mr. Holmes?
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, quite so. Yes, but that was before he was shot. There's no blood on the slope.
There's no easy access onto the track, so he must have come from a trail.
Well, judging by the larval growth on the corpse, he died about 2 days ago.
So, he came from the train. I'll go further. This is the man from the missing couple.
It's a possibility, but there are others.
Oh, I'll put my pension on it. I have an instinct for these things. Don't you remember the case of the Sholto brothers?
Vividly. Excuse me.
So, Doctor, here we are again.
Yes. How did the local inspector feel about the yard being brought in?
Not much choice, really, did he? Same as me with you two.
I recommend the view from up here, Jones. Most illuminating.
Don't tell me. Footmarks.
Two sets. You should check them for yourself.
No, I trust you completely. Sergeant, I finished here. Get this body loaded. Two sets. Excellent. Supports my theory in every particular. Oh, I did some research. Brain work, like I said. When it gets to the outskirts of the town, the express from London runs parallel to the local stopping train. Well, what do you reckon to that?
Why is it important?
Well, I think our young man was alone in one carriage of the slow train. His ticket was on the seat next to him with his wallet.
But not his remarkable collection of watches.
Those watches. They are a vital clue. You might not know this, Mr. Holmes, but wearing excessive jewelry is a symptom of some forms of mania.
Doctor?
Oh, it's certainly been suggested.
So he was excitable and impulsive and probably weak in the head. Now, it happened that at one point the two trains were alongside each other and moving at exactly the same speed.
It's your case that this sadly deranged individual moved across from his train to the other?
Leaving his ticket and identification behind. Exactly. It's dangerous, I grant you. It is perfectly possible.
But why would he do it?
Because, Doctor, he recognized someone on the express. Two people, in fact.
Well, couldn't he just have banged on the window and waved?
It's obvious that he had some very strong motive for moving across. Let's say he was in love with a woman.
Watson, you have a rival in the romance department.
What's more, he hated the man. There was an argument, it turned into a fight. The other man shot the newcomer, then escaped from the train down the embankment.
Taking the lady with him?
Exactly. Very good. In the fall, he dropped the gun, she snatched it up, and hysterical with grief and horror, she shot him and fled from the scene.
You double the circulation of the newspaper.
Oh, you can scoff all you like, Mr. Theorist, but I'm right. Just you wait and see. Oh, yes.
That's him right enough.
He is the man from the missing couple.
Poor soul. Yes, Yes, I'm sure.
Well, thank you very much. There you are, gentlemen. It all falls into place. Now, all I have to do is track down his companion, and the case is solved. Raninchwilior, vonedi ges.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
Cherche la femme.
Excellent.
Yeah, there is a local train which runs parallel to the express. I checked.
You believe Jones's theory?
No, I don't. Partly because it relies on too many coincidences, but mainly because I have several pieces of information which the good inspector does not.
Are you planning to share them with him?
The clues are all there for him to see. He only has to use his eyes.
I know he can be annoying, but I wouldn't want to see him make a public fool of himself.
Ah.
Oh, dear. He doesn't look happy. Mr. Holmes!
Good evening, Sir Gregory. May I offer you a drink?
You may not, sir.
Or a light. You seem to have neglected that excellent cigar.
Damn it, man! So would you if this had been delivered to your table.
What is it?
It's a disaster, that's what it is.
More accurately, it's a note from a local journalist.
He's going to print the whole damned story.
Does he have the whole story?
Of course not. He's got just enough to turn it into some sort of Masculine and Cook music hall mystery. Holmes, I relied on you to explain the entire affair before the papers got anything at all. Can you?
I regret not.
So, it was a waste of my time and my money engaging you.
But happily, Inspector Athelney Jones can.
So, gentlemen, those are the facts. Yes, all right, one more picture. Wait. Ready.
Thank you, Inspector.
Now, I'm asking for your reader's help to identify the players in this tragic drama. You'll be given these photographs of the two dead men and an artist's sketch of the missing woman based on the guard's description. About 5'20", modest bearing, very slight...
Very slight, fashionably dressed, hat with deep floppy brim, fur stole, white gloves.
Really narrows it down, doesn't it?
Do you think he's going to find her?
I believe it's unlikely. Come on.
Where are we going?
To do something I should have done the minute we arrived.
It is remarkable.
And for once, I can't cite you a precedent.
Why would a man carry 13 watches?
You don't accept Jones's insanity theory.
Oh, it's been known in women, but only with display jewels and the like, frippery. Mm. In this case, I don't believe it, no.
Mm. Oh, 6 plain pocket models, 5 strikers, and 2 of these miniatures on wrist straps.
I've not seen those before.
It's a new development.
Oh, rather good.
Yeah, they were in various pockets, but none of the chains were attached to buttonholes.
Is that significant?
Exceedingly. Did you notice anything particular about the man at the foot of the embankment? Apart from the fact that he was dead, of course.
He was, in his 30s? Heavy? Well over 6 foot?
Nothing else?
He was very well dressed. That was a 20-guinea suit.
Oh, and more specifically...
Oh, you're going to tell me his clothes were made by a left-handed tailor on the south side of a street in Holborn?
Actually, I'm going to tell you that they came from an exclusive, bespoke establishment in New York City.
He was an American.
These watches are informative, too. Time to find a telegraph office. And then...
And then what?
Could you eat some lunch? Would it spoil your appetite if we talk about the case?
Oh, not in the least.
Remember the smoking compartment next to the murder scene? When I examined it, I found this.
Oh, is that cigar ash?
Very good.
Well, it's not exactly surprising to find ash in a smoking compartment.
In this case, it is. This could only have come from an E.H. Gatto number 5.
That's not a name I know.
No, they're extremely uncommon in this country. The curious thing is that it wasn't the last time today that I encountered it. Amongst other places, it was on the second body. There's an excellent chance that just before or just after he died, a second murder victim was in extremely close contact with the elusive gentleman in the next compartment. Now, eat up, Doctor, before it gets cold. You know, every town and city has its distinctive odour. I ought to write a monograph on the subject. Watson?
This case gets more complicated by the second. Now we're dealing with 4 people and 2 of them have disappeared?
While 2 have met with bloody and curiously similar ends. Intriguing, isn't it?
I'd say that's putting it mildly. What are we going to do next?
Excellent. Just time. We're going back to London.
Ah, the trail leads back to the fogs of the metropolis.
Something like that. Her fingering in the finale was fascinating. I must try it.
So what's the future Lord Backwater going to say when he hears you abandoned him to go to a matinee concert?
It is possible to investigate two murders and appreciate Sarasati at the same time. Besides, our answers lie here, not in Rugby. Ah, it's arrived.
Something interesting?
Exceedingly. Don't take off your coat.
Brighton Street, gents.
Thank you, cabby. We'll be waiting here for a while. Now, Watson, the address you want's number 42, Mrs. Harris.
The address I want?
You get on much better with landladies than I do.
Well, everybody gets on much better with landladies than you do.
Well, there you are. I'll wait for you here.
I suppose you wouldn't care to tell me what it is I have to do.
I want you to find out about one of her lodgers, a man named Edward Harkness. Try not to appear too suspicious.
Oh, of course not. And while I'm at it, I'll discover a cure for the common cold. What exactly do you want to know?
Same as usual. Everything.
Ah. Good afternoon.
I'm sorry, sir. No vacancies.
Oh, thank you. I don't want a room.
What then?
I'm looking for Mr. Harkness. Edward Harkness? Do you know him?
Who are you?
I'm a doctor.
Are you his doctor?
Well, then you do know him. No, I'm not his doctor.
Did the police send you?
The police? No.
Or his family?
No.
Then what do you want him for?
It's a private matter.
Some people don't know what private means. Is he in trouble?
Do you think he might be? Oh, please tell me. Perhaps I can help.
Come inside.
Did you get any information?
I got rather more than that. Here. Baker Street, please, cabbie.
Baker Street, it is, sir. Guinevere.
Right. I'm not the first person to come inquiring after Harkness. A man called at the beginning of last week. Mr. Teddy had been expecting him. He stayed in his room and told Mrs. Harris to send the man away and say she'd never heard of anyone by that name.
Fascinating. Carry on.
I got a description of Harkness.
Not too tall, very handsome, jet black hair, skinny as a whippet.
Yes.
It's the dead man who materialised on the train.
Well, sounds like him, doesn't it? How on earth did you get his name and address? I mean, I presume they were in that telegram, but who was it from?
All of the timepieces bore the same manufacturer's mark, watchmakers in New York. I wired them asking if they had a sales representative in London.
Wasn't that rather a long shot?
Well, perhaps. But why else would a man be in possession of 13 watches, all of them different? They were his samples.
Why would anyone murder a watch salesman?
I doubt if he was killed because of his job. Did your Mr. Teddy have any friends or regular visitors?
One. A deal over 6 foot, burly build, sandy hair, very sharp dresser. Murder victim number two. So, what's in the bag?
Change of linen, collars, cuffs, and toothbrush. Yes, this is the bag of a man who makes last-minute trips or is expecting to have to make one.
Then why didn't he take it with him?
Good question. Oh, now, this is very interesting. Turn around.
I beg your pardon?
Turn around.
Oh, sorry, Inspector. Didn't know you were still here.
I'm just going through the file, see if there's anything I might have missed. Come in, boy, come in.
Thank you, sir.
Well, what did you make of him?
Well, sir...
Off the record, Sergeant. Between colleagues.
Well, I've got to admit he's impressive. Those eyes of his. Till I met him, I didn't believe half the things I'd heard.
And now?
I reckon most of it could be gospel. He's the sort that gets results, no question. But frankly, sir, I don't think he'd last a week on the force.
You're right, sir. Make him work a few shifts at the yard and he'd break every regulation in the book. Some of us have to play by the rules.
We'll find her, sir. Bit of old-fashioned police work, that's what it needs.
Hard slog and patience.
And lots of tea.
Sometimes I think I've got more tea than blood. Mind you, excellent drink. Very healthy, very good for you.
Oh, yes.
Fancy a pint, do you?
May I look yet?
Patience, Doctor. Nearly there.
Nearly where?
Right, you can turn back now.
Oh, thank you. Well?
Pull up a chair and open that pack of cards. That's a good chair.
Is this relevant to the case, or are we just whiling away the rest of the evening?
Oh, it's very relevant. Yes. Shuffle them, please.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, highly professional. Card. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, I deal us a hand each. What do you have?
Here.
Ace, 3, 7, 9, queen. Ooh, not a very good hand, but mine's no better. You see?
Oh, that's a terrible hand.
Is it? Look again.
Good God.
3 aces and a pair of kings. I win, I think.
How on earth did you do that?
Look.
What the devil's that?
They call it a holdout. Strap it to your lower arm, load it up with whatever cards you please, activate it, and it delivers them straight into your hand and removes the originals.
That's a good job you're on the side of the law.
Huh. Unlike the late Mr. Harkness, who seems to have given up watch-selling in favour of becoming a professional card sharp.
Any luck?
Yes. Young Stanley Hopkins was still on duty and he let me look at the files.
Oh, I told you it pays to be polite to the Scotland Yarders occasionally. What did you find out?
That a new card gang has been working the hotels recently. Several men and one woman, according to the records.
Several men?
Yes, the exact number's not clear. The only thing everyone agrees on is that they always work in pairs.
Oh.
The woman and two of the men match our principal players.
So all three of them are crooks? What about the man on the train, the man with the cigar? Could he be in this gang too?
I can't think properly in this place. It's too full of policemen. Let's clear our heads a little.
Savour that, Doctor. The nearest thing to fresh air you'll find anywhere in the capital.
Now, two of the gang were caught cheating at the Charing Cross Hotel and had to make a hasty exit. A tall, heavyset man and the woman described as small and slim.
Our mystery couple. When was this?
3 days ago, the date of the murders.
Perhaps Harkness knew about what happened at the hotel and went to join them on the run.
Yes, it's a pity the guard only had a glimpse of cigar smoker. What was the landlady able to tell you about the mysterious caller?
Oh, not much. It was a dark night and she only opened the door a crack. You think it's the same man?
Well, it's a possibility. I won't go further than that just at the moment.
Is there any way of tracking him down?
Now, if I'm right, it won't be necessary. And now I suggest home and a good night's rest. Have to go back to rugby first thing in the morning.
What is all about, Holmes? I don't take kindly to being summoned to a police station.
I thought you'd want to be here, Sir Gregory. There's going to be a major development in the case.
There is there? And what development might that be?
Inspector Jones, sir.
Excuse me, Sir Gregory, gentlemen, but there's a man out front wants to see the inspector about the dead chap on the train. Says it's his brother.
That development.
My name's James Harkness, gentlemen. I'm from New York State. I saw Ted's picture in the paper.
My condolences on your loss, Mr. Harkness.
Quite.
Thank you. You know, I don't understand any of this business. Jumping across from the other train, the fight. What was he thinking? Who were that couple?
Mr. Harkness, were you the man who called at Radnor Street asking about your brother?
How do you know about that?
Answer the question, please.
I was, sir, and I drew a blank. I reckoned he'd given us a false address.
You'd come to this country because your brother had stopped communicating with you and his employers, and because you were afraid that he'd lapse into his old ways again.
Have you been spying on my family, sir?
What I know is the result of logic and deduction. I believe that Edward Harkness fell into trouble with the law, probably in New York. You bailed him out.
I didn't exactly bail him out. Let's say I made the problem go away. Money can do that back home. I'm not proud of it, but it had to be done.
And you found him a job that took him safely overseas, selling watches, Jones. Mm-hmm. They were his samples.
Oh, so he wasn't a lunatic, then?
Ted was a decent, God-fearing man till that villain Sam Forrest turned his head and put him onto crime. Seems Ted took straight to it. They were at it years before they finally made a mistake. Yes, I reckoned he might have drifted back into it again.
So you came all the way over here to find out?
He was my brother. I knew he'd be trying the same line as before, so I knew where to look and who to ask. I worked my way around the hotels and the clubs till eventually I struck lucky, and it turned out things were a lot worse than I'd thought. Give me that again. The other man?
Great tall chap. Built like a heavyweight. Very nice suit. Accent like yours.
Hell's teeth.
Sir?
Nothing. Here. Thanks.
Well, thank you, sir.
It was Sam Forrest. Couldn't have been anyone else. Seems I wasn't the only one who'd come halfway around the world looking for Ted.
Successful criminals like to stick together.
Is that so? Anyway, then I knew I was right. I carried on looking, but I had no luck. Not till I opened my paper this morning.
No, that really won't do.
What?
Tell me what happened when you saw Forrest and the woman at Euston Station 4 days ago.
What are you talking about?
Please don't waste my time. You were on the train they caught to Rugby. You were the man in the next compartment.
Is this true, Harkness?
The same highly distinctive ash you so sloppily left all over the seat is on your coat and your trousers right now. You smoked one of your gutto cigars in your hansom cab coming here this morning.
You're calling me a liar and your proof cigar ash?
That's part of my proof. I have 5 other indications which will interest a jury, but the ash is the most damning.
Okay, I was there, but I've done nothing illegal.
Well, if that's true, then tell us everything.
It could go very badly for you if you don't.
I found another bar where they'd been seen. The barkeep heard Forrest talking about how London was getting too hot and how this place called Rugby was supposed to be rich pickings. I thought I'd head there and wait on the platform for them, however long it took. The train was just about to pull out when the conductor opened the door to my compartment, and there he was.
The lady prefers a non-smoker.
Of course. Sorry to disturb you.
Now, don't you mention it.
Did Forrest know you?
Oh, yeah.
And the woman? Do you know the woman?
I reckon I gave the both of them something to think about.
What happened? Come on, you've told us this much. You might as well give us the rest.
I've said all I have to say.
Oh, for God's sake, man. What's the point of stopping there?
Perhaps I can continue the tale.
With more of your deductions.
With hard facts. That cigar of yours was very eloquent, Harkness. It told a tale a blind man could follow.
Will you quit stalking around and sit down? That's better. Okay, he's here. He's seen us, but it doesn't matter. We'll easy give him the slip when we get to Rugby. No problem. Hey, come on, cheer up. You're all right. Nothing's gonna happen.
Forrest! You moved from your compartment to theirs.
You bloody fool, you might have been killed.
That's not that hard. Much easier than going from one train to another, Jones.
Well, why didn't he just wait until they got to Rugby?
Because what he wanted to say had to be said in private.
Forrest! Get the hell away from my brother!
Good grief.
Yes, Gyrndafydd.
Watson?
I thought that might be it. Eliminate the impossible.
Well done. Mm. There never was a woman. I suspected that from the first. Except that one simple truth. Everything else falls into place. Harkness, I'm right, aren't I?
Yes. Yes, you're right.
It's disgusting.
I take it your brother had his more conventional clothes with him.
In a hold-all. I made him get into them.
Didn't Forrest try to attack you or stop you at all?
I was expecting it any second. But he just sat there and watched like he had a ringside seat.
That's better. At least you look more like a man now.
I am a man. It's just a disguise.
Certain about that, are you?
For God's sake, I was going to get changed all along.
Sure you were.
In case the law's waiting for us.
Oh, great. They're on to you again, are they? And I suppose you think I'm going to clean up your mess for you just like last time?
Jimmy,
quit whining. Put the dress and the other bits into the bag.
Do it yourself.
All right. Now.
Hey!
And good riddance!
Find that bag, and it'll confirm everything. But what you're getting's the straight deal. I'll swear to it if I have to.
Oh, you'll have to, all right. But look, I don't understand why all this dressing up, this play-acting or whatever it was.
Do you remember reports of a card-sharp gang in the capital, Jones? An unknown number of men and one woman.
Yes.
Forrest and Harkness, the lot of them. Go to number 42 Radnor Street with a warrant and you'll find a wardrobe full of disguises. Track down Forrest's rooms and you'll find the same. Different personalities, so they could work the same places more than once.
But a woman?
Why not? I've done it myself on occasion.
Oh, good God. You do know it's against the law, don't you?
Well, next time I'll let you know in advance so you can come and arrest
me. Oh, for pity's sake, you two. Holmes, what happened then?
No, wait, wait. I want to finish this myself.
Good. I couldn't think straight with those damn things in here.
For the love of God!
Close your mouth, Forrest, or I'll close it for you.
I'd like to see you try.
Shut up! Both of you, just shut up! Jimmy, what the hell do you want?
What do you think? Ted, why did you let him sweet-talk you all over again? I got you a good job. You could have led a decent life.
I like my life just fine the way it is. I like everything about it.
And you just can't stomach that, can you, Jim boy? It really sticks in your throat.
I told you to be quiet!
Yeah? Well, you're not giving the orders anymore.
Sammy, don't be a fool. Put that away.
He's not so big now, is he, Teddy? Shaking in his boots. Who's the Mary Jane now, eh?
You damn pervert!
Jimmy! No! Sammy!
And suddenly there he was, just lying there with his blood spreading out from under him like someone had turned on a faucet. My baby brother. Forrest looked down at the gun in his hand like he'd never seen one before. Then, out of nowhere, he opened the door and jumped. I went after him without even thinking about it. I guess neither of us was exactly in our right mind.
You both landed on your feet, leaving two sets of unmistakably masculine marks, which you really should have bothered to look at, Jones.
They landed on their feet? From an express going at 50 miles an hour?
Ah, but it wasn't. Not at that point.
Well, come on. How can you possibly know that?
You saw the evidence for yourself, but you didn't realise the significance.
The significance of what?
Of the train that passed when we were examining Forrest's body. It had slowed right down. I didn't understand why until I climbed up to the line. That stretch of track was new. The ballast was fresh and clean.
And there's a strict speed restriction on all newly repaired lines.
As I surmise. So, quite by chance, the two of them didn't break their necks, but slipped unhurt down to the bottom of the embankment. Mr. Harkness.
Yeah, that's it. You might have been there.
And what happened then?
You're not going to believe me, but I swear on the book it's a God's honest truth.
You murdering Marjorie. I'll kill you for that.
No. No, you won't.
He turned the pistol on himself.
And you took the gun, emptied his pockets, and left.
That's exactly what I did. Like I said, I guess I just wasn't thinking straight. What do you say, Doc? Temporary insanity?
A shock, certainly. Understandable enough.
Right. Understandable. Well, sir, you're the officer of the law here. What happens now?
Mr. Holmes.
Inspector Jones.
If young Harkness had turned his back on his old job, why did he still have the watches?
They were too valuable to throw away and too easily traceable to sell, in London at least.
Yes, but why carry them around?
Once he knew his brother was in the capital, he didn't dare leave them in his rooms. If Mr. Harkness had persevered and managed to get inside there...
I'd have known straight away I was on the right track.
Anything else you don't understand, Jones?
Just one thing. How did you know that this man would be turning up here today?
My wire from the watch company in New York. They told me their salesman had disappeared, that his family was concerned, and that his brother had gone to England. I reasoned that he'd see the pictures in today's papers. He wasn't mentioned in any of the reports, so I knew he'd think he was safe.
But good grief! Why did you come here at all? Why risk it?
You have to ask. What sort of man are you?
To see that his brother had a decent burial.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I see. Well, I think that covers everything. James Harkness.
Inspector.
You said you'd done nothing illegal.
I did.
You were wrong. We'll start with failing to report two shootings, robbing a corpse, and removing evidence from the scene of a crime, shall we? Come with me, please. If you'll all excuse me.
Gentlemen.
This way. Ah, Mr. Holmes. Doctor, I'm grateful to you. Come on.
Mr. Holmes, that was remarkable.
Thank you. I'm pleased to have brought your case to a satisfactory conclusion.
Yes. The old gentleman, a word with you both.
I suppose I shouldn't be surprised.
By what?
By the fact that money and position have just as much power here as they do in America. Hushing things up just to prevent a scandal for his railway company. Don't the public deserve to know the truth?
The truth? An accidental shooting, a suicide and some petty misdemeanours. Why tie up the legal system over that? The players aren't even English. The courts have far more important matters to deal with.
Is that why you agreed to be discreet?
What other reason could there be?
How about saving the families the shame of seeing the story splashed across the gutter press? The whole story, I mean.
An incidental side effect of no concern to me.
No, of course not. A good thing, though. What's amusing?
I was just thinking about Jones. As far as the world's concerned, his brilliant theory is still completely valid, and he's busy searching for the mysterious missing woman who will explain the whole affair.
So, once again, Scotland Yard comes out of it well.
Give him enough time and he'll probably convince himself that it's all true and keep looking for her, which would at least keep him out of our hair for a while.
True enough.
To the everlasting tenacity...
of Detective Inspector Thelney Jones.
Here's a pretty business.
Actually, you know, I'd rather miss him.
I wouldn't.
In The 13 Watchers, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Sir Gregory Backwater was played by Nigel Anthony, Inspector Athelney Jones by Sean Probert, John Harkness by Stuart Milligan, Ted Harkness by Robert Lonsdale, Sam Forrest by Inna Mirza, The Landlady by Don LaHughes, and The Sergeant by Dan Starkey. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The 13 Watchers was written by Bert Coos and was suggested by a reference in The Noble Bachelor by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and also by his story The Man with the Watchers. The director was Patrick Rayner.
You do it, Tom.
Inspector.
What now?
Stand up, please, Mr. Ferrers.
Oh, Mr. Ferrers, is it? That's more like it. Are you going to be polite to me too, Lestrade?
Not from choice, I'm not, no.
Well, there's a surprise. What do you want?
You're free to go, sir.
Gentlemen! Gentlemen! As I have said all through this sorry affair, I am a benefactor, not a murderer.
Then who do you think killed Mr. Radcliffe?
That's all, thank you, gentlemen.
Alice?
I've got a cab waiting. My father's had a very trying few days and he needs to rest.
Mr. Ferrers, would you say that justice has been done?
I said that's all! Thank you. Come on, Father.
What about you, Mr. Ferrers? Any comments?
Oh, save your breath, Jack.
I have a statement to make.
Who the devil are you, sir?
My name is George Radcliffe. Don't expect me to say that justice has been done. My father was killed. Murdered. Because he dared to speak out against that man. My father believed that the guilty should be made to pay for their crimes. And so do I.
The Ferrers Documents by Bert Coos. With Clive Medicin as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Stephen Thorne as Inspector Lestrade and Thomas Arnold as Constable Dawkins. The Ferrers Documents.
Come on, sir. Chin up.
Damn it, Tom. Years I've been after that man. I really thought this time...
You'll get your chance. Here.
Thanks. Oh, I hope you're right. Well, maybe you are. Never say die, eh?
That's the spirit, sir. Never say die. To nailing Ferrers.
To nailing Ferrers.
Mr. Holmes, I assume you're familiar with the circumstances of my husband's death.
To a certain extent, Mrs. Radcliffe.
I thought you always followed such things.
George, please.
Well, that's what it says in those stories.
And Mr. Holmes has been engaged on another case.
So I know only what has appeared in the papers, which is remarkably little. In the early hours of the morning just over a week ago, as your husband was returning from a public meeting in Aldgate, he was attacked in the street and fatally stabbed.
Yes.
You have our sympathies, both of you.
Thank you, Doctor.
The late Mr. Radcliffe was widely respected for his campaign against the slum housing in the east end of the capital. The subject of his address on the night in question was Mr. Robert Ferrers, the owner of a large number of common lodging houses and other buildings in the area.
Ruins not fit for pigs.
Your anger does you credit.
Somebody has to care about these things. I intend to carry on with my father's work.
Well, then I recommend a cooler head and a less emotional approach.
You must forgive him, Mr. Holmes. This is a difficult time.
Perhaps so, but it's logic and reason which defeats criminals, not temper and irrationality. Now, 3 days after the attack, the police arrested Ferrers for the crime. Why? What was their evidence?
They had a witness.
A woman came forward and said she'd seen the whole thing.
And she identified Ferrers as the killer?
She was absolutely certain it was him.
Well, then why was he released?
The woman disappeared.
And it's not hard to work out what happened to her, is it? One doesn't have to be Sherlock Holmes. Ferrars had her killed too.
Mr. Radcliffe, anything said in this room remains confidential, but I strongly advise you not to make statements like that in public.
Do the police believe she's dead?
No. According to Mr. Lestrade, they're still searching for her. But I could see in his eyes that he thinks it's hopeless.
Because the woman is a prostitute.
How could you possibly know that?
No respectable female would be out alone at that hour and in that place. Therefore, she was not a respectable female. So, no fixed address, and probably using an assumed name. Impossible to trace.
Ferrars found her easily enough. Or his thugs did.
Or she simply thought twice about testifying and decided to change her name again and disappear.
Whatever the facts, without her testimony, Lestrade evidently has nothing.
And so my father's killer walks free. Will you take our case, sir?
An unremarkable murder.
For God's sake!
Well, I state the facts. A crime with no singularity, no distinguishing features, in an area noted for petty assaults. Mr. Radcliffe, your father wasn't the first to speak out against Ferrars.
No, certainly not.
The man simply shrugs off such things. Why did he feel particularly threatened by your father? Why should he feel the need to kill him?
That, sir, is what we were hoping you'd find out for us. It seems that our faith was misplaced.
George!
I'll be waiting downstairs. The great detective.
I'm so sorry.
There is one possibility.
Mr. Holmes?
If your husband did discover something truly criminal against Ferrars, but hadn't yet made it public...
But Ferrars somehow knew about it. Yes, that had occurred to me.
That was perceptive of you.
Have you looked for anything of the sort?
Oh, yes. I went through all Jonathan's notes, his files, everything. I found nothing.
Well, he might have kept something that important more securely than the rest of the material. Perhaps in a different location.
That's excellent, Watson. Mrs. Radcliffe, my advice to you is to look again.
And if anything comes to light?
Well, then, by all means, let us know straight away.
Well, is he going to help us?
You were insufferably rude, young man.
Is he going to help?
He gave me some very useful advice. Now, please call a cab. I want to go home.
Oh, there they go. Poor woman. What about that prostitute, huh? Perhaps she didn't change her mind. Perhaps she just lied to gain some attention.
That and a couple of hours in the warmth of the yard and some of Lestrade's tea and biscuits. And then she thought better of it.
So it was a simple robbery with violence?
Perhaps, yes.
You're not sure?
Well, I need more facts.
I thought you weren't taking the case.
Well, for my own satisfaction.
You're interested in Ferrars?
I want to see the man who inspired such loathing in Mr. Radcliffe Jr. That's a remarkable level of hatred against an individual he hardly knows. Thank you for agreeing to see me.
Why should I not? I have nothing to hide.
An impressive display.
You didn't come here to talk about my orchids, Mr. Holmes.
No.
Then let's get on with it. You've been asked to inquire into the death of Mr. Jonathan Radcliffe, probably by his widow, and you've come to see if I look like a murderer.
It's my experience, Mr. Ferrars, that murderers look exactly the same as everyone else.
What then? Do you propose to ask me if I killed him?
Did you?
No, sir, I did not. I regret his death. As far as I could see, he was a good man, sincere. But like so many good men, he was also naive. Are you familiar with the poorer parts of this city?
Intimately.
Then you know that those wretched people can be helped only one step at a time. Their most urgent needs are for shelter, beds and enough food to keep them from starving. I provide the first two at a price which allows them to afford the third. And I'm pilloried for it by do-gooders who want to see the entire population of the East End housed in the Savoy by this time next week. Yes.
Excuse me, Father. Mr. Holmes, I'm sorry, I've only just been told you were here.
Good afternoon, Miss Ferrars.
May I order you some tea?
Thank you, no.
Stop fussing, girl. Leave us.
In a moment. Mr. Holmes...
I told you to leave us.
When I've had my say. Mr. Holmes, my father isn't well. Please don't exhaust him.
You may rest assured of that.
Thank you, sir. I'll be close by if you should need me.
She's